AGP, you may run the roll, please. And welcome to the, what is the date? The October 23rd, 2012 Morro Bay City Council meeting. I want to welcome everybody who came down tonight. Let the record reflect that all members of the City Council are present. And we're going to begin here in a sec with a moment of silence. I'm going to ask everybody to please think of Cheryl Taylor, great Morro Bay resident who just passed away. If you would please stand and face the flag, we'll be led in the pledge by Ms. Dana Swanson.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I think my mic is working tonight. We have five students back there from Cal Poly Leadership class, and thank you for choosing the Morro Bay City Council meeting to come. I'm sure you're going to find it fascinating. We're glad to have you with us tonight. They could have gone to a Tascadero. We want to thank our interim police chief, Mike Lewis, who this will be his last meeting. He's been here his 6 months, and he's done a fabulous job, and I mentioned soon after he came on that he put that uniform on and walked into the police department, and in 2 hours he had everybody's respect.
Church, you get free pancake breakfast, free health screening, a special flea market, and free children's activities. Then after you get through there at noon, you go over to St. Timothy's, because from noon to 6 is the Women for Fisheries fish fry. So you can just eat your way through Morro Bay all day. The Morro Bay Foundation is having their annual musical fundraiser, and this year they're doing the music of Paul Simon. It'll be November 3rd, starts at 5:30, the music starts at 7, and while you're waiting to hear music, you can have soup and bread from the galley for $5. It's $20, tickets are $20 in advance, $30 at the door, and if you want to know more about how to get tickets, you check their Facebook page and it'll tell you all about it. Also, I just want to congratulate the Morro Bay Natural History Museum. They had a wonderful 50th anniversary celebration this weekend. There were lots of things to see. It was last Sunday. Just plenty to do for kids and adults alike. It's wonderful to know that our own Natural History Museum is now 50 years old. The last thing I want to tell you is this great idea we had. Some of us were up in that C word, not Cambria. Yes, in Cambria. No, we weren't in Cambria. Where were we? We were in Carmel. We were, and on our way home.
Wine tasting?
Of course, smart Alec. On our way home, we drove through Cambria and looked at the scarecrows and got to thinking. I mean, because there were huge crowds of people driving around looking at them. And we were thinking about, you know, Washington, D.C. had the teddy bears that were decorated. And SLO, right here in the city of SLO, they had decorated trout that then they auctioned off. We were thinking a very important appropriate activity for Morro Bay would be to have people take their old surfboards and get them all decorated and put them all along Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street and down on the Embarcadero, and we could have surfboards. And then have a, they could be auctioned off as art pieces. So I'm not going to necessarily champion it, but it's a good, I think it's a good project for NOAA. And that's all I have for now.
Okay, I'm just going to have to think for some homework for Nancy there in response to that. Couple quick items. One important one is the annual state water shutdown for maintenance. It's coming up November 2nd through the 19th. And it's an important period. We no longer receive state water during that period, so we're reliant on our local resources, which means that everything we do as far as conserving water reduces the pressure on our staff to have adequate water available and reduces our costs for that period. So please, from November 2nd to the 19th, make sure you do everything you can to reserve water. And a couple of other fun events coming up. The North Morro Bay Merchants Association or group is having another one of their Halloween and costume fairs at Spencer's Market this October 28th. It's Sunday from 2 to 4. And it's hosted there right at Spencer's Market. Lolo's, Go-Go Coffee, Beach House Bistro, Spencer's, and Taco Temple are all working on this together. There'll be games, food, prizes, cakewalk. And it's all free if you bring a donation for the Food Bank of San Luis Obispo. So that's this Sunday. It's the third annual from 2 to 4 at Spencer's. And an update about the Coast Alliance, which is the citizens opposing acoustic seismic testing regarding the PG&E offshore seismic testing. We have our weekly meeting coming up tomorrow evening again, Wednesday, the 24th, 7 p.m. at the Morro Bay Community Center. And we'll be talking about a couple of items. One is the Board of Supervisors for the county have agendized a discussion to update their position on the seismic testing project as proposed for this next Tuesday, October 30th, from at 1:30. It's the afternoon session of the Board of Supervisors, and everyone's encouraged to show up to encourage the board to take a strong stance opposing the proposal. And the other exciting thing is that there's a group, subcommittee of Coast, that's organizing a concert and picnic coming up to basically celebrate the ocean and try to get more information out there to the public and generate some media. And that concert's going to be November 11th at Tidelands Park on the south end of the Embarcadero. And from 11 a.m. to sundown, it's free, very simple format. Just bring a picnic, basically, and come out and enjoy three great bands. And you can learn more about this and other things at the website, which is stopoceanblasting.org. And just one last quick update about the beach soccer tournament this Sunday. The festivities start about 9 o'clock with check-in and goes through the clinic and the exhibition during the morning, and then you get into the bulk of the tournament in the early afternoon.
You may.
Just a public service announcement for the fire department before I forget, I didn't flip the calendar, that time changes on November 4th, and it is a good time to change the batteries in your smoke detectors and also make sure that you don't have any furniture blocking your furnaces and heater vents as we get into the cold season.
On behalf of the fire chief, thank you very much. There you go. Closed session report. Mr. Schultz.
Good evening. Prior to the regular session, council met in closed session to discuss real property negotiations. And the real property negotiation discussed was the lease at 1001 Front Street. And the other item discussed was labor negotiations. As to both these items, they are on the open session under the consent calendar.
Thank you, Rob. Nice job. And nice job, Dana, by the way. I'm going to invite a couple people up here before we open it up for public comment. First, Mr. Matthew Reed. We have several vets in our midst tonight, and we welcome you. And Matthew is going to talk about Veterans Day. Good evening, Matt, and welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, my name is Matthew Reed. I live at 1955 Ironwood Avenue right here in Morro Bay. I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years, where I served as an infantry machine gunner. Did three tours to Iraq and one to Afghanistan. As you can imagine, I was put in life and death situations, and not all of us made it back. Of the 2.5 million vets that have served, 20% of those that have returned home have returned home with post-traumatic stress or post-traumatic stress disorder, otherwise known as PTS. That's 500,000 veterans. Of those 500,000 veterans, 18 of them commit suicide every day. I am one of those 500,000 veterans that struggle from PTS on a daily basis. Unfortunately, in the past few months, I have lost two of my Marine Corps brothers to their struggle with PTS. They thought there was no other answer than to take their own lives. It's with those guys in mind that I, along with a few other local veterans and close, dedicated friends, have come up with this Mind Over Matter. It's a post-traumatic and suicide awareness event held right here in Morro Bay at Fitness Works. It's a pledge-based physical fitness event where members of the community will come and hop on some spin bikes as well as other cardio equipment. However many miles they're able to knock out will determine how much money they've raised through their pledges. All proceeds will be donated to two local veterans groups, one being Veterans Express and the other AmpSurf of Pismo Beach. We will also be working alongside Randy Couture's Extreme Couture GI Foundation, which is throwing a party on Veterans Day as well on Market Street in Morro Bay. And all their proceeds are going to go ahead and benefit the Wounded Warriors. More than bringing awareness to the community about PTS and suicide among our veterans, I want to get the word out to those veterans who are struggling like myself. I want to let them know that they are not alone, that there are others out there suffering just like they are, and I want to let them know that this community is here for them. That's all I have. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much.
And thank you for serving. That seems like such a trite thing to say, but those of us who aren't vets, when we say it, it is from the heart. And Crystal Bergman from Treasures Antiques. Welcome, Crystal.
Well, this is silly in comparison to that last thing. I'm from Treasures Antique Mall. We are a local business here in Morro Bay, and we just wanted to let y'all know what we're up to over there. Treasures Antique Mall is located right across the street from the Historic Bay Theater, and we have 4,200 square feet in our location that features 78 local vendors. So as you support our business, you're also supporting 78 local people who sell their wares, whether it's things that are handmade or things that they have purchased throughout their travels. Let's see here, where was I? If you're looking for a unique gift, we have a wide variety of vintage, antique, restored, reclaimed, and repurposed items that are perfect for any home. We feature the latest seasonal colors and decor, which make a great addition to any home. Treasures also has stuff for the guys. We have a man cave in the back, surf stuff, vinyl records, much more. Our selection offers everything from
the police department. And last weekend, I said goodbye to four of my family members. It was a tough time, but in that, I can now say I have three out of those four spaces in our family filled with prospective new employees, which is an exciting opportunity. And in 2 weeks, we welcome a new police chief. And I can tell the citizens of Morro Bay that their department is as strong and responsive as ever. And that doesn't happen without good leadership, which is why I wanted to come here tonight and say thank you. Chief Lewis and his wife Fran came to our community 6 months ago not knowing much about Morro Bay, only that he brought a lifetime of public service from the Ventura County Sheriff's Department and Simi Valley Police Department, and he felt he could add something to keep us stable during a changing time. I can say I've been privileged to serve over the last 6 months with him and alongside him. And I consider him a brother, officer, and a friend. And I will take something from his service, and I know the other officers at the station feel the same way. You're right, Mayor. We are a very tough bunch. We're judgmental and jaded by trade because that's how you pay us to be. But he has done a fantastic job of keeping us pointed in the right direction. And so he's able to turn the keys to the department over to a new chief and usher in a brand new era for this city. And I think you'll be proud to see what's coming. So I wanted to say thank you on behalf of the police department. Thank you.
Okay, I guess I'm going to have to make my little applause speech. We do make exceptions. Certainly, Matthew is an exception. But generally, we don't applaud here. That's kind of policy, and the reason behind that is if we let applause happen, then booze will happen, and then the whole thing kind of degrades. So we would prefer it and respectfully request that you don't applaud. Who would like to go next? Mr. Durek, welcome.
Good evening, Mayor Yates, council members. I'll explain the overhead. It's I get a little further in my presentation. I'd like to address you this evening on the subject of the wastewater treatment plant, on the project, and call your attention, and particularly call the attention of the viewers at home, to a study that has been posted on the city's official website. The study I reference, and I have here in my hand, was conducted by Dudek Engineering to determine the cost difference of building our new sewer plant on the existing site or moving the plant to the Rigetti Ranch. There is very unsettling information in this study on the cost impact to our ratepayers if the Regional Water Quality Control Board and the EPA choose not to allow us to continue with our 301H waiver for less than full secondary treatment of our effluent during the time that it would take to construct the new plant at the Rigetti property. The report states that we would be forced to make upgrades to our existing plant, to the old plant, costing $20 to $30 million, and that would still be the old plant, and that would still be putting only secondarily treated effluent into the ocean, not the tertiary treated water that one of your former councils and all of us have been working towards and increasing our sewer fees to pay for. That existing expansion, as you know, and as the public at home, I think, knows, has been held up due to numerous appeals to the Coastal Commission. Otherwise, we would be under construction right now on the existing site. The study does not consider the cost impact of fines for noncompliance from the Regional Water Quality Control Board, which could be leveled for whatever period of time it takes us to construct a new plant. The Regional Water Quality Control Board has the authority to fine us as much as $10,000 per day for noncompliance. I ask all fellow Morro Bay ratepayers to take the time to read this report before making any decision on whether you want to support moving the sewer plant to a remote location. The report can easily be justified on the easily be accessed on the city's official website at morro-bay.ca.us. It's under the Public Services Department in the Document Center under WWTP upgrade. Or a much easier path would be to Google Tom Falk, Morro Bay, September. That's Google Tom Falk, Morro Bay, September. Please read the report.
Thank you, Mike.
And if nothing else, Mike, read the summary. Thank you very much.
How to get a care package for troops in our Afghanistan. Dan Rendell has boxes and dozens of boxes at his real estate office. You can go pick them up. Much, much more. And on the home page are two very important petitions regarding Morro Bay, located on the home page, articles of interest. Your email address and names will not be ever be published. And all you have to do is fill out the petition form. Once completed, hit return like Facebook, and the petition magically goes off to the Coastal Commission and to the Department of Fish and Game. The Morro Bay Wastewater Treatment Plant, there is an article and several articles written, and there is a form to fill out on those articles. Now, if you want the location of the wastewater treatment plant to stay where it is and not to move it to the Rigetti property, you fill it out, petition form, hit the return key like Facebook, and it will magically go off to the Coastal Commission and DFG. Another very, very important issue are articles to be read on the seismic testing and a petition to fill out. If you want the testing stopped, log on to Ask the Coastal Commission and the DFG, Department of Fish and Game, to stop the manual and fish killing of the seismic and blasting, and fill out the petition form and hit the return like Facebook, and there you will go off to Coastal Commission and the Fish and Game. We hope that this news media, it's published in Morro Bay, be enjoyable for all of you to read and respond. You can respond to it. If you want to respond, keep it clean. Because, you know, we get phone calls at home, all you blah, 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 all the swear words. It doesn't get you anywhere. We just hang up or hit the button, and that's it. Okay. Thank you for listening, and have a nice evening.
Thank you, Gary. It wouldn't. You're right. It's a race.
I brought some handouts, if that's okay.
If you could just give them to Rob there in the end, he'll...
Is that okay? My name is Carol DeVore, and I'm a representative of WomenAid. WomenAid is a 501c nonprofit, and it was started about 8 years ago by five women that wanted to do something for people in the community who kind of fall through the cracks, who don't get to qualify for, say, social welfare, or they don't qualify for other funds through the public. This is just like one shot, one-time money or donations of things that people need. We find out about these people from nurses, teachers, doctors, all different people in the community. And then we give them whatever they need. We don't give them directly money. We give them, if they need to have their teeth fixed, we may pay the dentist bill for that time. Or we might buy a whole lot of diapers for a new baby. We have lots of women that have babies that can't afford to buy things. But then in doing so, we will tell them, well, you're going to have these diapers for the first maybe 3 months of your baby's life, but then by that time, by the end of those 3 months, you need to find a way to support your child in that way. Some of the things that we've done, I'll just give you a rough idea. Gas for a single mother of two to take the two-year-old for follow-up appointments after having several surgeries at Stanford. Dental treatment for two brothers. Car registration for a family to drive to a medical appointment at UCLA. Diapers again. Emergency newborn clothes for two babies. Underwear for boys and girls to be used at school. Chest x-ray for a teen that was being assessed for cancer. That's just a couple of things that were done in just a few days. Since 2003, when it was started, until September 30th, we've raised $195,808.16. And this is all through donations. Every single penny is goes for the people. We don't have advertising. We don't have stamps. We don't have letterhead. Nothing but email. And so that's why I brought some handouts, because that's the only way you can find out about it, or you can hear about it from somebody else. There are almost 600 people on our list right now, and they find out through the county. They find out about the needs of people by email. And then they email the person who's in charge and say, well, I have all the net proceeds will go to WomenAid, and it's 18 months,
and Bill and...
You need to speak into the microphone.
Oh, Bill and Tracy Shushak over here. He was the photographer of this. And there's 18 months in the calendar, and even somebody you might know. <It's> an, anyway, we have them for sale, and there's well, it was a lot of fun to do, and the proceeds will all go to Women Aid, and we had a heck of a fun time doing it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gwyneth.
I have them for sale here.
Where do you? Can you tell us where you buy them at?
Me.
That's it.
No,
okay.
Oh, Studio One down
in
Barnes &
Noble.
They have them.
Sweet One.
Sweet One. And how much are they?
They're $20 plus tax.
Thank you.
$21.50 total.
Thank you. Hi.
City Council, Mayor, Sandy Chandler, Morro Bay. Just as they reported on the Los Osos sewage plant when Los Osos was having their debate, now the Wall Street Journal is zeroing in on Morro Bay and Cayucas. I hope all citizens of Morro Bay and Cayucas have read the September 26th article. It is important because we citizens need to know what is being said and how we are being manipulated. The reporter, Jim Carlton, is using faulty information given to the Coastal Commission staff. The whole article is skewed with half-truths. Waterfront property? It sits behind the RV park. This is not beachfront property, as stated in the article. A tsunami is being used for the reason the plant should be moved, but we have never had a tsunami of any magnitude in this area. Talk about scare tactics. Where is this coming from? They want to relocate the plant a mile inland, which is uphill. Pumping stations that use energy would have to be installed, which in turn would require more manpower because of their high maintenance. The expense of this project is not only the initial cost of the sewage plant, but also the continuing costs of maintenance for the infrastructure to it. In other words, a whole new infrastructure would have to be built to move you-know-what back up the hill. At present, we are using gravity to get to our sewage plant. This is why people opposed to the move are right. This doesn't necessarily stop here. The Coastal Commission is pushing to shift other aging infrastructures inland. That could include many things. What next? Moving our city away from the coastline? Because, apparently, there is a move afoot to move everything inland. This seems, once again, it's the Surfrider Foundation and their agenda. An unelected official tells the reporter that those opposed to moving the plant are overblowing the cost estimates. Really? An unelected official, like he cares, what it is going to cost we the citizens of Morro Bay and Cayucas. So I ask, are we being manipulated? As stated in the Wall Street article, Mr. Delzeit, a plant official, said, and I quote, "I see no rational justification to move inland because of the price tag and the time issues involved." Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Who would like to go next? Good evening, Betty.
My name is Betty Winholtz, and I want to address a few of the items on the agenda tonight. The first one is A5, which is a contract with the fiber optics company that has taken over the fiber optics contract out at North Point. There are three benefits that the city will be getting from this new contract, which is a good thing. However, two of those, or currently all three of those, will benefit strictly the city government. One of them is a new capacity for free from this company, as well as the equipment to go with it. The third item is $50,000. As what I would like to see and suggest is that $50,000 be dedicated to a direct public good rather than directly go back into the general fund. And the reason I suggest this is because it's in the middle of one of our natural park areas, and when they came through and did this project several years ago, they cut up our streets, and we got no public benefit from that council at the time. And so it seems to me that this $50,000 could be dedicated annually to streets and or to the parks. and let those other two benefits go directly to the city. In terms of item C2, this is the reorganization of Public Services Department. I think that the timing of this is poor. We have a new council that's coming in a month and a half, 6 weeks, and it seems that this is something that the new council should have some input on. What this reorganization does is, and again, is a monthly meeting, and allows that person to take greater charge of the wastewater treatment plant, which is probably duplication then of what this new position, the wastewater treatment plant manager. So I'm not understanding the logic of this, nor the increased funding that this will create to both the general fund and the enterprise fund. So I would urge you to postpone this issue. And then the last item is D1, and it has to do with cutting residential impact fees. And, of course, at a time when you're increasing things, this is the wrong time to do that.
Anyone else? Anybody? Going once. Going twice. Back to council. Thank you, Matthew, for coming out tonight and sharing your story. Thanks, Crystal, and Brian, Michael, Gary, Carol. Gwyneth, hope I got your name right. Sandy and Betty, we appreciate your comments. Anybody? Questions, comments? Questions, comments? Consent calendar. Anybody want to pull any? Yes?
A5, please.
Nancy? George? Noah? Can I hear a motion, please, approving the consent calendar other than A5?
So moved.
Second.
Give the second to Noah. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. A5, Carla.
Thank you. I wanted to pull this because I know that originally when the company a few years back was going to do this, the money from that agreement was going to go into, my understanding was it was going to go over towards Parks and Rec since it's out at the North Point in City Park. I would like to see, rather than the money going into the general fund, perhaps it goes to the facility maintenance fund and is used for technology or something to that nature, since that's what we're getting the money for. It could pay for the iPads or other upgrades and things we need in the technology department within the city. But I'd be amenable to, you know, other departments. I just thought that seemed the most logical place to put it.
Nancy? George? No?
I agree with you. I like that we could designate that and be able to see that as a line item. And I don't know if it needs to be a special fund, but obviously be able to track where those funds are spent. And I think you're appropriate in trying to put them towards technology improvements. And I think the suggestion, too, that, you know, there has been impacts to streets and parks, I'd be willing to explore that to a certain degree. But I think definitely let's make sure that that's specially designated, those funds.
Okay. Andrea, this is the item before us is a license agreement, right? It seems like there's two separate things. We approve this, which is just a license agreement, and then if it's council's desire to bring back the $50,000 and earmark it for something special, that would be a separate item.
I think you're fine doing that this evening if you're comfortable doing that. I'm giving a word from the city attorney, even though he's not saying it out loud. You can
sense him. I know.
Sense him. Yeah. He's okay with that. You can certainly do that this evening, or you could bring it back if you felt like that was important and needed more information.
Okay, so Carla, what I'm suggesting is what this is the license agreement, and the license agreement doesn't include language where the $50,000.
No, but it includes the collection of the $50,000 and has left us just no specifics to where the $50,000 is going. That's
right, but that is not part of
A5.
Correct.
It's included in it.
I think it'd be fair to approve this with the expectation that there'd be another item coming back to us.
Thank you for stating that clearer than I was able to. That's the idea, Carla. We approve this,
sure.
And then
that's fine. Next meeting, I'll come back with the.
You can do it tonight, and okay. So, could I hear a motion approving
so
A5?
Second.
Discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries. 5-0, sorry. Let's see if we can, I think we can knock out C1 in 15 minutes or less. Let's try. C1. Rob.
What? We start on B1?
No, we can't do B now.
C1.
Oh, C1.
Don't second guess the mayor now. He knows what he's doing.
Excuse me, didn't hear you.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, City Council. Item C1 was requested a potential project for widening of sidewalk along the Embarcadero and between Pacific and Beach Streets on the west side of the Embarcadero. Staff looked at better sidewalk along there, and the vision in the waterfront master plan was as properties redeveloped, they would set the buildings back, and that's how we would gain that wider sidewalk.
Okay. I was asking specifically about the stretch between Beach and Harbor.
It is narrow sidewalk, so that would be appropriate to widen. It, if we were to phase this project, it might not be the first priority that we would pick to do.
Okay. Let me go to Council. Noah?
Thank you. This idea, we've had a couple of agendas, items come forward about this, and I'm intrigued by it, and I think it's worth looking at. It reminds me of the discussion that San Luis had many years ago about the mission and the idea of transitioning the mission away from automobiles to pedestrians, and we all know how much of an improvement that's been, but also how odd that was at the time and how many people were opposed to that. I've noticed that since I've been on the council, there's been a transition with a lot of the business owners that I've talked to down there from being very concerned about looking at ideas to increase pedestrian flow and make it more comfortable to actually support of looking at some ideas. That said, this price tag of 350,000+ to just go for it and rip out the existing and replace with a 10-foot sidewalk, to me, we're not going to be able to afford that. In the short term, it seems like this is a conversation that needs to take place as part of our local coastal plan update and the circulation element there. That to me is the most efficient and organized place to approach this. And that said, I'm interested in exploring some options that would be along the lines of a pilot type of program for that area to look at what could work, perhaps selecting a few key pockets that are particularly tight and expanding onto the street there. There has been discussion of a one-way concept going in, and I think it would be interesting to take the opportunity to go for a much more affordable pilot concept to get some experience under our belt and to then go into the LCP update with a better idea about what works and what we might like to do. That being said, I also think that we haven't heard formally from the businesses in that area as much as I'd like, and I'd suggest to Mr. League that this might be a great area for him to help us work on in the outreach to those businesses and make sure that they're a part of this, because obviously, as you know, you've spent so much time down there, you understand the flows better than anyone, and the improvements definitely need to be supported by the business community down there. So I think we might need a little bit more time on this to come up with some ideas about how to improve it, and I'd suggest that starts with reaching out to those businesses and having some conversations. And you know, if you want to go that way, maybe the business forum might be a good place to start to discuss some options. I know that's been a topic there before. Those are my thoughts.
I'm just going to butt in, if I may. I've walked this with Ron DeCarli. He has said COG would fund this. Now, sitting on COG, I can tell you that's a 2 or 3 year kind of deal. I would think... Certainly, I agree with you as far as bringing in the business owners down there. And, I mean, George, to suggest he do the outreach, he's been doing this outreach almost on a daily basis for 2 years. This man is the guy who's in touch with every single business owner there and talks to them all the time. I think waiting for an LCP update, I think we can get it done sooner than that. That's, you know, you I'm sure you guys, you think you're going to make this happen quickly, but I think it's a longer-term task than you think. I think we need to design it. I think we can get design money from COG. We got design money for the bridge. We can get design money for this. Everything takes time, though. I think ultimately it would take a few years. We can get this pretty fully funded, 90%. What do you think, Andrea? Susan? Think we can get 90% out of COG? What'd we get for the roundabout or the harbor walk? Pretty big.
Close to 90%.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob. I should have asked you. So I would think to start the process, let's write COG and say, this is what we want to do. We want to get funding for design phase, get the discussion going. That would be a start. That could happen while we're you new next.
And I really think that what Bill just got through saying is doable, and I'd like to see us start moving ahead on this. But the business owners down there are really, they really want to get something done because. And it's going to open up their shops where the people are going to be able to view them better from the sidewalks. It's just a better overall thing.
Well, having spent the end of last week in Carmel and walked their streets, I certainly think we need something, and I think this may be our best chance, and I would agree with both Bill and, I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, and Mr. League, that we need to move ahead and look at what SLOCOG can do for us and how we can get this done in a most expedient and least expensive manner.
Carla.
I think you used expedient and least expensive in one sentence. That right there is a demise. I would say that not having the signs on the sidewalk has greatly improved the flow for the limited space we have, and I would be mindful that as projects come forward and the new planning commission and council are reviewing them, that part of that those projects is the sidewalk enhancements and things, and we haven't always followed through, and we haven't had a lot of turnover to the amount that's going to be coming up in the near future with waterfront leases as the year 2018 approaches, and there are several leases that will be upgrading. So there's a lot of opportunities, I think, between that and SLOCOG to address those and move forward with some sidewalk enhancements.
I'm going to suggest that we start the communication with SLOCOG. I can put this in the form of a motion, but is that necessary? If we have a consensus? I'm looking, no, good. I'm going to seek a consensus here that we just look at Rob and say, let's start the dialogue with SLOCOG, tell them what we want to do, and that we want some design money, and start there. And start with A.
Sounds good. Let's go.
Okay, we have a unanimous consensus on that, Rob, so thank you very much. Okay, now we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do public hearing. And Betty, if I could see you for a minute.
During the break, I think Matt's going to hang around a little bit, so if anybody's want to talk to him, he'll be available.
And put it where?
Well, you know, don't let this planning department make it bogged down. You know, yeah. It's a staff decision. Just I'm worried about Noah.
I'll bring you some tomorrow. Be ready.
Okay, we're missing Betty. Betty. She went home. Betty, would somebody mind just running outside and see if you can find her? Thank you, Jamie.
What's that? Yeah.
Oh, I spoke to her. We discussed time, and we've.
Back up here.
Jeez. All right, what do you think about just jumping ahead then? Thank you, Jamie. Let's get George back and we'll do C2. That'll make her appear. George, can you hear me?
No.
Yeah, come on. Okay, we'll postpone C1 since we lost our appellant. I'm sorry, B1. And now we're going to do C2, Andrea.
And I'll be turning this over to Rob Leivick, our Public Services Director, for the presentation.
To add a engineering tech 4 position to be filled from existing ranks to manage permitting through the NPDS permits that the city holds and our waste discharge requirements, to organize the engineers under in a common group under a common supervisor, which would be the capital projects manager. That group would also include relocating building inspection to the engineering group, and finally to bring the permit technician position from three-quarter time back to full time due to business license demands and increasing in permit demands. This is probably easiest followed in the summary on the first page of the staff report and then on the revised organizational chart, and that is attachment 6 in the staff report. That concludes my presentation, and here for questions.
Great. Thanks. Start with you, Noah.
I was able to talk to Ms. Luker earlier to get most of my questions answered. I'm finding myself feeling cautious about this, mostly because I agree with some of these adjustments that are being proposed, but I see us increasing the salaries and the responsibilities of a number of positions, and besides the one position, we're not increasing the number of staff, but we are increasing the cost of staff, and I'm just reflecting on what we've been working on for the last 3 years to try to get those costs back in line. A lot of that was in the benefits, but same time, I guess what I'm seeing is we're increasing a number of these positions, and then I'm wondering, 2 to 5 years, sometime into the future, it's going to be really easy to continue to bump these up. When you look at them as a whole right now, it looks like, okay, I think we can afford that outside of the permit technician costs. It looks like that. But then I just am not sure that 5 years from now we're going to be seeing these positions being requested to be expanded or promoted to a higher position. And I guess I'd like to hear Ms. Luker talk about that, because it's likely that at that point you might not have the context of, okay, us hoping that this will satisfy those needs and we won't have to do that. But councils in the future might not be connected to this, and it's just so easy to start seeing that cost level tick up incrementally, and particularly when it's all bundled together like
you're
this.
You're repeating yourself. Address your question.
Yeah. So I'd like to hear Ms. Luker talk about that a little bit and how, you know, we can justify this.
I think, first of all, it's important to remember that each position is within five steps. So there's five steps for each position. I think what you are talking a little bit about, though, is if we have an event or an engineering tech 4, why wouldn't we have an engineering tech 5? And then why wouldn't we have an engineering tech 6? And I can certainly understand that. I think if we look backwards, what we've done in the past, we haven't done a lot of these types of things. These changes now are to rectify some situations where we have people that are doing duties that are not within their job description. Taking out my crystal ball, I don't anticipate, I can't say no, it won't happen, but I don't anticipate, I think we've captured really all the duties that we need to do within these job descriptions, so I don't anticipate adding, just for an example, in the situation, a Tech 5 or a Tech 6. Those jobs are already taken up by people above them, so looking at this organizational chart, I think Mr. Livick has done a good job of arranging it to what normal or a traditional department might look like. I understand your concerns. I won't say it couldn't happen, but I don't think it's likely.
And a question that we talked about earlier, but with the three-quarter time position turning into a full-time position, the permit technician, what would that look like if we didn't approve that component? Because that's a fairly large chunk of the increased costs to the city.
Well, we would continue to operate just as we are with other staff filling in for that position. So it's just not that the work doesn't get done, it just takes longer to accomplish those tasks by being down that three quarters of position. One option that the council might want to look at, if there's some reluctance there, is to continue to monitor the permit load and the business licensing load maybe over the next.
Now, some of these moves need to be made immediately, but then others I'm definitely more hesitant to take on at the moment, particularly the increase from the three-quarter time to full-time. Definitely, I would like to postpone that. But outside of that, I'd be interested to hear what the rest of the council is feeling.
George? Yeah, I would I'm in favor of getting this three-quarter person up to a full-time, just to get things moving better, and things have improved in that department, especially the last couple of months, and I see this whole thing as continuing improvement, and I throw kudos out for what's happened over there as far as things, you know, getting greased and moving along, and certainly to go from a three-quarter to a full-time there, just it makes sense to me. And as far as 5 years from now, that's three councils down the road. That's even beyond the next council. You know, that things are different every 5 years, and councils are different, and councils think differently, and no council or city manager is locked into decisions we make today other than contractual ones. And but we go up and down with our employee number, and you know, Andrea might not be here and Rob might not be here, and there's new people and they see things differently and they want to make changes, and you know, that these things happen, you know. Nancy?
Overall, I'm really happy with the organizational chart. I talked to Bruce a few minutes ago and he said, yeah, he was happy with it. I think it's a good plan. Speaking of the three-quarter time, that would be my question. I'm pretty sure you probably need the full-time. What is the actual cost in moving from three-quarter to full-time?
The salary cost is approximately $12,000.
And she already has benefits, right? So
it would there'd be a slight increase to going to full-time benefits, I think, too. Jamie's shaking her head. Yes, there would be. The numbers there are basically salaries because that's the majority of the costs.
And my only other comment is my understanding is that with the chamber's new direction that they're planning on working very closely with city staff to get information out to people about permits and to get permits moving along in an appropriate quick fashion. All that being said, I would be willing, if it's the majority, to see this full-time, three-quarter to full-time, kind of just wait until mid-year budget and see it on the in January on the mid-year budget. But I think that's the only part that I'm willing to consider changing.
Carla?
I agree with Council Member Smuckler and Johnson about the three-quarter time position. I would rather the new council visit it at mid-year and make a determination based on the budget then, because it is a bump up a few months before then. The reorganization I'm fine with. I think that Bruce Keel would be a great leader for that department, and I look forward to him transitioning into that position. I call into question, and again, I guess I must have missed the memo on when we approved the collection system position that's vacant, because I heard through the grapevine that we were interviewing for it, and I thought we had not approved that position. So I don't remember at what council meeting we lifted that. Is there some time that we did that in the recently? Because that was a position that we had agreed not to fund. I don't know if Mr. Livick can speak
it
to that.
It wasn't that recently. It was quite a while ago from my recollection. But I'd have to go back through the minutes. But our HR staff reminded us that we still needed to fill that open position.
It was my understanding that this council... I can't recall the exact time we held that position open. Am I wrong there?
Councilmember Borchardt, I believe that was an additional position that you held open. I believe this is a position that has been open for some time. We've had some change in the, and I'll look over it to make sure I'm getting the nod from the table across, but I believe we had some changes where people moved from collections 2 to a collections 3, collections 3 to a lead mm-hmm. worker. So we've had some situations where people, there have been vacancies, we've moved people up. My understanding is this collection open position, it's not an extra position. We did ask that some time ago, and that was not approved, but I believe this one was approved some time ago. Exact date, I don't have that.
See, and that's where I'm recalling that it wasn't, that it was this fifth position that we left open purposely and didn't.
Service Department reorganization, with the exception of the building permit planning license technician moving from three-quarter time to full-time.
So moved.
Thank you. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Gosh, this is what I thought you three were on. I'm trying to expedite this. Are you not for this?
I'm planning on supporting it. I just wanted to confirm that we would track the business license burden as we have been, so we have information when that comes back, if it comes back.
Ooh.
At mid-year.
Yeah.
Happy Halloween. And then pending the confirmation that council has approved that position for collection system.
I would agree with that as an addition.
And who seconded your motion? Then that has been amended, I mean made part of the motion. Are you clear on this, Jamie?
Yes.
Cool. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Now we'll back up. Welcome back, Betty. B1. Rob. Oh, sorry. George has to step down because it's George's son.
Bye.
Pardon? Our division head leaving the hall.
Tie and jacket next time.
Yeah, we're on suits now, Bruce.
Wow. Yes.
That must have really hurt, huh? Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Item B1. This is a appeal of an amendment to an existing use permit, CUP 02-01. The amendment to the use permit was to add 686 square feet of office and storage space by adding a second story to the Harbor Hut restaurant on the Embarcadero. Planning Commission approved this item at their unanimously approved this item at their September 19, 2012 meeting. The item was subsequently appealed, and the reason for appealing was basically that it's not allowed under Measure D. Just want to point out that this proposed amendment to the existing CUP is expansion to the ancillary uses, not the restaurant. The restaurant is not being expanded. Those ancillary facilities are to facilitate an employee break room downstairs and to move storage and office to the second floor. The project is within the Coastal Commission's original jurisdiction, and the Coastal Commission will be taking action on the required coastal development permit that would be required for this construction. And I just want to clarify a point that use permits run with the use. They don't expire or time out. The only time they expire is if the use is not inaugurated. So if somebody got a use permit for something and didn't do what they intended to do, the use permit would expire. But those use permits run with the use, and as long as that use is there and somebody wants to change what was approved under that original use permit, they need to come in for an amendment to that use permit. Those amendments are noticed just like a regular use permit, so all the folks within 300 feet of the project site are sent a postcard, put an ad in the paper, and post the site. Staff is recommending that the City Council uphold the Planning Commission's decision and deny the appeal. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Questions for Rob?
I have just one. I got a little confused about what you just said about use permits going like with the building. If he gets a use permit to do an office space or storage up there, and then somebody else comes along and buys the restaurant, do they have to keep it a storage space, or can they do something else with it?
They would have to keep it a storage space unless they amended their use permit. So they would. It was
their permit.
Correct.
Okay.
Also, the there's conditions of the permit that the office can't be rented out separately from the restaurant business to not allow a separate business to rent that out.
Mm-hmm. And another question is the point's been raised about the 10-year additional on the lease from this project, and the question that's been raised is how do we justify the public benefit components for that 10-year extension? Is there a direct correlation? Obviously,
I didn't think that was part of the this item, the 10-year correlation between the expansion of the this is appeal of a use permit. Maybe Mr. Schultz can answer that question. I'm not prepared to.
I'm not quite sure what your question is. Is the lease was given for 10 years based on a calculation of how much it would cost for this improvements, and that was previously approved by council. So I don't know. There isn't any requirement that there be a public benefit in a lease. So I'm not sure what your question has.
The question came in the sense of generally for extensions or for lease terms, we're looking to, in a certain way, relate the number of years to how much benefit the public's going to receive for the Tidelands Trust. And I'm asking the question so it can be clarified as to why that's not directly tied in to this discussion. So in a sense, you just answered that. But I wanted to make sure that question was out there and answered so the public can understand.
Each lease is taken up differently as to the amount of dollar improvements and how many years. We don't have any steadfast, if you put X amount of dollars in your project, you get X amount of years. That's part of the negotiations that go on in closed session and then are brought forward. In this area, which is Measure D area, it's much more difficult for tenants to do improvements and to get any years out of it. So it's a little bit different of a calculation that we have to consider because of the Measure D. They can't expand the restaurant. So these are improvements that are being done to his building, but don't expand the restaurant business. So it is making an improvement to one of our lease sites, which is we own that building once the improvements are done. And that's where the calculation came in. I believe it was for a 10-year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Betty. Pardon me. You have the floor. I want to acknowledge receipt of your email. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And both parties have agreed to 10 minutes.
Okay. And for that reason, my name is Betty Winhilt, and I am the appellant. I will go over my comments. The council has had them, but for the benefit of the public to know why I've appealed this, I think it's important to restate some of those. So first I'd like to address a few of the sections within the staff report itself that do not directly address my four grounds for the appeal. And the first one is under the section of physical impact. And it mentions the comment that's required. Just read it. The report states the project, quote, required an amendment to an existing conditional use permit, unquote. On the appeal form, the second reason listed for my appeal is that this amendment is inappropriate. And that's part of one of the major grounds for appeal, that this project should not just be done under an amendment, but it should have a coastal development permit. Another comment within the staff report is the summary and background, and it states that the new second story is for office, quote, access, wine storage, and an ADA-adaptable restroom. Now, I think technically I'm not supposed to address anything that I haven't addressed previously. However, this is new information that was not in the previous staff report, so I feel it was fair to bring it up. The concept of access and the concept of an ADA bathroom were not part of the Planning Commission staff report. So I think, and that's something that has not yet been addressed in the comments by city staff, how that fits into this project. And then my third grounds addresses this in condition number 21. At the end of this same section on summary, it states that I contend, and as Mr. Livelich stated, that the main issue here is Measure D. And actually, I have four grounds here, not just the one. And so though this is probably the one that's in most people's minds, there are other reasons why I've appealed this. So to move on to then my four grounds of appeal, the first one was Measure D. And as we all know, and I'll quote it once again, the city shall not grant any permit, authorization, or other approval unless such development or use is primarily for the purpose of serving fishing activities. Years ago, that is not necessarily an addition, or it's an improvement, but it didn't change the square footage or utility of the area. Whereas what this petition is asking for is for an addition of 600 plus feet to the building itself. So, and increasing the square footage increasing an addition, that's development, and it needs a different kind of permit. My ground three was regarding the staircase or access to the second story, and this is where it gets kind of shady for me, because we've talked about an ADA bathroom, but there's no elevator. So how does one access an ADA bathroom? The reconfiguring of the staircase has been stated that it has been changed on the plans, and I understand that, but we all know that plans can be changed unless it's put into the condition. And so that's why I ask that the words, if feasible, be removed from the condition, so it's a guarantee that the staircase will be configured as staff requested and as the applicant has said he would do. Let's see. So my last grounds for approval was number four, and I said that it's regarding an exception. And I agree, as staff has said, that the applicant did not apply for an exception. However, he is receiving an exception because he is violating an ordinance. And so when you go against an ordinance, and bodies can choose to do that unless it's a shall statement, as we know. So even when sometimes these exceptions are allowed, it is under the condition that there must be a public benefit. And yet even under that criteria, which shouldn't apply here, but if it did, there is, again, no public benefit. So my contention is, contrary to the conclusion in the staff report, that this appeal on grounds 1 and 2 of this proposed project is not consistent with the general plan, the local coastal plan, or the city's municipal code. And so I hope you'll address all four of my grounds. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor Yates and council members. My name is Kathy Novak, and I'm here representing the applicants for the Harbor Hut office project this evening. Before I begin, I'd like to once again thank staff for their time and assistance with this project and recommendation to uphold the Planning Commission's approval of the project. For my presentation tonight, I will address four points that have been raised in the appeal. Excuse me. First, this project is consistent with Measure D. The project will add 686 square feet of private office space, storage, and a restroom to support the existing restaurant. Additionally, the existing office will be converted to an employee break room and storage area. There will not be any restaurant expansion for the general public. Therefore, this proposed use is clearly incidental to the existing operations. The second appeal point states that the separate conditional use permit should be issued and questions whether the existing use permit is valid or has expired. I will begin by saying that the city is only approving a conditional use permit because the project is located within the original jurisdiction and the Coastal Commission must be the responsible agency to issue a coastal development permit. Excuse me, I keep losing my voice here. Next, the city issued permit number CUP02-01 a few years ago, and that permit is still valid, and since the project was constructed and received a final occupancy from the permit, it is still in effect. As for the issue regarding the amending the existing permit versus issuing a new permit, there are several reasons why this is an appropriate action to take. First, it doesn't matter how old the permit is, but rather that it matters that the permit is active and valid. Number two, amending an existing permit provides continuity as projects do additions and modifications and also avoids potential conflicts between separate permits. For example, if a CUP is issued for a project and then a modification to the use is brought forward at a later date, the new use permit conditions could inadvertently conflict with the prior conditions. However, if you amend the existing permit, then you will make sure that the conditions are consistent. Three, this is somewhat like the city master leases. If you have an original master lease and a change or modification is brought forward, you do an amendment to the master lease, but you don't start all over again. The third appeal point states that the condition number 21 for the stairway orientation should remove the words if feasible. My first point on this is that I believe that staff recommended the change so the stairway entry was near the front door only because it would be less likely for the public to mistake that for a public access. Second, the Planning Commission approved the plans with the stairway oriented toward the front door. The third, the inclusion of if feasible in the condition should remain simply because in the off chance that the stairway as designed needs modification to meet building codes, then the applicant can make those changes. The fourth appeal point states that there is no public benefit to allow for an exception. An exception is required when a project does not meet the development standards of the primary ADA accessible with a proper turning radius, backing distance, and grab bars and sinks. However, that is not proposed at this time. In conclusion to my presentation, that I would just askly respect the council to approve the Planning Commission's approval of this project, and that it is consistent with all the city policies and regulations. That concludes my presentations. Thank you for your time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Betty. Questions, comments? I'm looking at you, Carla. Sorry.
Mr. Leivick, the ADA compatible, ADA, yeah.
Adaptable
bathroom. So it's irrelevant that you have, it doesn't matter that there doesn't have to be access upstairs because it's not required for this
correct
change.
I think they're setting this up for if there are future changes to the law, perhaps, that they could convert this to an ADA bathroom easily. Right now, it's proposed to be a private restroom for a private office, not accessible to the public, general public, or outside users.
So at that time, it would have to come back to the Planning Commission and whatever for elevator and all the changes then to be modified?
If that's what they wanted.
Okay. I'll wait. Thank you.
That was my question as well. I would like to hear Mr. Leivick's comments about the exception. Obviously, it came down to the interpretation of whether we're granting an exception to Measure D or not. It sounded like to me anyway. And if you want to answer it that way, you can. But what are your feelings about the term exception or not?
In my opinion, it's not an exception. It's consistent with, it's both staff's opinion and the decision of the Planning Commission that it's consistent with Measure D, and no exception was requested, nor one was granted.
It's not adding, as the way I see it, is it's not adding to the restaurant, as he explained before. It's ancillary. I do see a public benefit in that the public owns that building, and by adding space to the building, you're adding value to the building, therefore you're adding value to the public, because it's there's the public benefit, in my view. You know, respectfully, Betty, it seems to fit in the box to me, so I'm inclined to uphold the Planning Commission's decision and deny this appeal. Nancy?
Me too.
Carla?
Well, this came before us, actually. When we approved the extension of the lease, we as a council were aware of what the intent of this project was at that time as far as the office space and all that, and we approved the 10 years. So, you know, it vetted through the Planning Commission for the specifics, but I think that we already had an understanding this was going to exist. I agree with you, Mary Yates, that the benefit is to the leasehold. It is the city's owned building, and they are very tied to what improvements they can do, and I think that we've always allowed some discretion in the interpretation of that section so that we don't put such a chokehold on people. They can't improve the lease sites. I think we want them to improve the lease sites, so I would be supportive of upholding the Planning Commission.
You have anything before I make a motion? Then could I hear a motion, please, denying the appeal and upholding the Planning Commission's approval of the requested amendment of CUP-0201.
So moved.
May I hear a second?
Second.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion carries 4-0. Sorry, Betty. George? And we want to welcome back Councilmember George Lee in a necktie. D1, Carla.
He is rather dashing looking this evening with his tie and suit.
The two of them, I tell you.
Yeah. Picture night. D1 is the discussion on building impact fees for residential. We discussed this back in, I believe it was May, and had looked at potentially waiving all fees, and I asked that this come back so we could look at some ideas of a menu of changes we could, reductions we can make rather than just totally waiving them, and it coincides somewhat with the commercial fees that we've, and also not including non-habitable space that would not be factored in, such as garages and hallways and things. So I'm bringing this forward and ready for some discussion and see what we can do to help out the potential homeowners in the community that want to build.
Nancy?
I totally approve of this idea. I have one question, and that would be limiting it to single-family homes, or homeowners somehow, or even if you were going to go as far as more less than eight in one building time, since that's the breaking point for low-cost housing. But those are my only concerns.
George?
I think they covered it.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not in support of this as proposed. I think there are opportunities for us to help single-family residences construct new structures as well as renovations, and I'm very interested in pursuing those. But I think what we're doing here is we're giving a considerable amount, and there's not a lot of there's not a standard that we're asking them to comply with besides your existing standards. And I think for things like water and wastewater, if we're going to reduce those fees 50%, there should be a tie-in to an enhanced efficiency with the structure. And I think that makes sense because you can draw a relationship to the structure, reducing its water needs and then its impacts on the wastewater system. And I would be much more, that's an example, I'd be much more comfortable, and I am, in fact, interested in pursuing something along those lines. But as it's proposed now, I think we're giving a lot of way and undercutting some of the quality of life features that we've all come to appreciate and that these fees help support. And I'd just like to see a higher standard being requested for some of these refunds or reductions. And I would actually be interested in bringing this back and talking about it in that sort of a format and including renovations, smaller renovations, because I think there are things that we should do to make that easier and more affordable.
Well, I kind of disagree with you, though.
How did I know?
You know, the idea behind this is, if I'm on board with your thinking, is to spur construction. It's the construction trades in this town are dying on the vine. And they're all hurting. As George's cousin there at the glass company, he's doing the whole thing by himself. I mean, he goes out, he installs, he comes back. I mean, everybody is cut to the bone trying to survive. And whatever will spur construction, and I believe that this has a shot at, you know, getting some houses started, that's good for the whole community. That's good for the city, and it's good for the community. And what... it's the same thinking as the commercial waiving of the impact fees. I don't think it's a bad idea what you've got, Noah, what you stated about tying it into, you know, water reduction. But, you know, we talk about this, and the whole 18 months that she wants to do this for is going to be expired. You know, let's do this. Let's send a message out. We want you to build a house. You've got a timetable here. You've got a deadline. This doesn't go on forever. This is not a Golden Gate Bridge toll. It's and 18 months. I mean, it's my sense is, and a council is not going to extend it, or if they do, it would be for a year or so. So I'm with you, Carla. I think this is a great thing, and it's got potential to get some houses started. And if it gets houses started, that comes back to us more than the impact fees.
If I could respond to that, it's important that we are building new homes and renovating existing homes and so on, but what we're asking here is basically we're throwing the doors open, and we're at the same time cutting back on the funding sources that allow us to accommodate those new improvements in a way that keeps a standard that we or that we're trying to attain. You know how hard we've worked to improve our streets and how much work we have left to do, and yet we're talking about reducing the traffic fees 50%, and that's in part what helps us accomplish those improvements that benefit everyone, the existing homes and future homes and businesses and so on. So that's that.
I'm going to get back to my first statement that if we build a house, and these impact fees are right now, they're zero. So what you're saying is we're going to lose this money. Well, we're not getting it now. We're getting nothing. So we're going to trade nothing.
That's an exaggeration.
It is an exaggeration. We're getting near to nothing. If we get three or four, let's say we got five houses and we lose $100,000, $22,000 times five, you know, and split that between parks and police and fire and streets and wastewater. We're going to get much more back in that in property taxes, in sales taxes, in what we can do for the construction trades. It's an economic chokehold we're in right now, and you know we have a responsibility, a business-friendly council, to try to help business here, and that's what this is. This is a business-friendly. This isn't for the homeowner. I mean, it does benefit the homeowner, but it's really to benefit the building trades. That's what I see here. So.
Well, and I would add, and I agree with what you're saying, Councilmember Smuckler, and I welcome that you're going to continue to look into, and you've talked about it in the past, about tying incentives into those things, but yet we've never gone anywhere with it. We've talked about it, and that's as far as it's gotten. And, you know, this is it isn't a waiver of these impact fees. It's a reduction. I didn't ask for any changes to public safety in those fees, and if you look at the impact fees on the sheet there, you'll see that traffic is $1.82 a square foot. I mean, that's huge, huge. So as all we're saying is for 18 months, we're going to cut that in half. We're going to reduce some of the fees. Instead of it costing you $22,000, it's going to cost you $15,000 or $14,000. And maybe that's enough that's going to spur the opportunity for some of these people to make that leap. And so that's the intent of it. It's not to just give away the responsibility of those homeowners. And I would agree with Councilmember Johnson that, and I did not purposely omit mistakenly again, that it is a single-family resident benefit. It's not for subdivision developers and things like that. So I would certainly want to put a restriction as to the number of houses that, you know, it would be applicable to in regards to, you know, there's some smaller projects around town that are two or three houses and things like that I could see that this being a benefit for. It's not intended for somebody to come in and build a, you know, subdivision somewhere. It's for the other people. So,
well, let me ask then, for the water and wastewater fees, how about we tie that 50% reduction to a dual plumbing requirement? Very simple, not very expensive. And what that does is it creates the opportunity in the future for the higher efficiency gray water system to be installed affordably for the house.
But you just trade fee for fee. Sorry, Nancy, go ahead.
Sorry,
it's not a fee.
Excuse me for interrupting, but once again, we're reducing a fee and then you're adding a cost. It may not be much to you, but to that homeowner, it's a lot of money. And based on something you said earlier, I don't see how these improvements or changes or whatever you want to call them are really going to impact traffic. I mean, I think your ideas are noble, and I think maybe someday at a future date we should work towards adding some of those things to our building codes, but I don't think this is the time or the place. We need to get this moving,
And I would like to see this limited to either single-family homes or small subdivisions. Carla mentioned 2 or 3. I know that 8 is the cutoff for having to do the low-cost housing. So I would be agreeable to whatever you guys agree. I just want to get it going.
Well, and I would also add, you know, Councilmember Smuckler, you talked about the remodels and the renovations and things. Right now, the impact fees, there are no impact fees up to 500 square foot, 499 square foot. What can you do with that? Not much. You know, you can't even hardly squeak a bedroom and bathroom out with that. So I would welcome you to look at visiting that, you know, raising that up to 750 square foot, 800 square foot, something without them being faced with those impact fees so that they're willing to do the renovations and improve the quality of the housing inventory in town. I think that that's a benefit to everybody. So,
well, I will respond quickly to the comment. The idea with dual plumbing is that is the future. There is no doubt about it in the state. And any home that's built without dual plumbing at the moment is boxing itself into a very expensive renovation in the future when it's not affordable to not have a dual plumbing and gray water system in place in most cases. So the concept there is we're saving people money in the long term. And I just need to make sure that's on the record.
How many units? Yeah, let me just ask you this. How many units up to how many units are you?
I'm no. Yes, A5. I forgot what it was. Oh, technology money, the $50,000. You said I need to agendize for the next.
Yes. Yeah. So could we just bring back a recommendation on? I mean, I think you're feeling a consensus here that. To earmark the $50,000 for
technology
for city attorney. Let's
now.
Split it between technology and city attorney.
Yeah. Yeah. Now rather than during the future mid-year budget request next meeting.
Oh, you're
meeting.
Right. You're right.
Which would you
budget
prefer?
Or do you mean?
No, I want to earmark where it goes. Yeah. I don't want to earmark it to go to general fund. So yes, now they'll spend it before mid-year.
Oh, that must have really hurt. And am I sensing that you'd like this? We only have one meeting left.
Yes,
like, yes.
Thank
okay.
You.
Can we do this the next meeting, please?
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Well, we might spend it between then and now.
Yeah, well, okay. Do we need to make a motion that you have you been paid yet? Anything else from council? Anything else from staff? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you very much for being here. 8:03.
Expect the payment. Do they have all their permits and everything in hand? Is it 15 days from final permits?
Yeah, I know that. No, I did talk to the one Jeff, but they had gone down to San Diego last week. I guess San Diego was doing it, and I think he might even see it.
Just find out.
Yeah, I'm not like too much like that.
I mean, I slept for it here a lot.
And then, but I tried to geo what we decided to do to make it quicker and simpler.
But it's a funny email chapter. Back away from it.
It is what it is. I BCC'd you
on
that from the
commission. I just don't understand how he can bring something
in that position. So I send. The revised
dealership.
No, they say you don't need it.
I'm just going to send it to them.
Yep. Well, that's the way it should have been.
Yeah, probably.
You should see.
I know.
You should see.
All right.